Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, I set the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine, to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. Our December topic is gratitude. And today we will have dear Lynn Forrest explain to all our Inner Healers family worldwide how is it that gratitude can transform victim consciousness. Lynn is a reality guide and personal growth mentor. She's the author of Guiding Principles for Life Beyond Victim Consciousness. She was educated through a lifetime of studying and observing metaphysical life principles taught to her early in life and learning how to apply those principles to her own life in positive ways. As a perpetual student of life and consciousness, Lynn has devoted her career to studying with masters of various disciplines, family dynamics, Jungian principles, dreams, and shadow work, psychodrama and energy, as well as the laws of manifestation, body-oriented practices, such as yoga, physical unwinding, and qigong are just some of the approaches Lynn applies in her work with others. Through her work with clients, Lynn has developed a unique understanding of how the mind works and ways to liberate it from the throes of what she calls the victim mind. Help me welcome Lynn. Hello, Lynn. How are you doing today? Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Luciana. It's always great to be here. What a great time of year to talk about gratitude.
Yes, so tell us, what is gratitude for you?
Gratitude is a state of consciousness. It's a state of consciousness that looks at the world through a lens that says, I'm connected to everything and I am abundantly blessed. So when we are living in that state of consciousness, the world is a very different place.
So in your experience, how is it that gratitude can transform victim consciousness?
To answer that question, I think a definition of victim consciousness would be the starting point, and that is just when I talk about victim consciousness, I'm not talking about whether or not we are victimized. I mean, we may be victimized by some happening, but victim consciousness is the attitude. It's the state, again, it's another state of consciousness. It's the state or attitude that we take on that says what happens outside of me determines how I feel inside, that it's what happens out there that determines whether or not my life is a good one, whether or not I'm happy or unhappy. And so that's a chronic state of consciousness. Most everyone we know, well, I will just take the most out of it. All of us as human beings move in and out of victim consciousness throughout any given day. And so what I found is that the opposite, the antidote, the place we go to help treat victim consciousness, that state of mind, is to cultivate a practice of gratitude, moving into that state of gratitude, so that we begin to see our challenges as actual gifts, as opportunities, rather than as problems. That's one of the things that gratitude allows us to do.
So what are practical tools to cultivate this practice?
Well, the most important tool, I think, and there are several, but the most important one is is the understanding and the decision to recognize that we are sourced by something bigger than us, and that there is a universal intelligence, there's a living intelligence that we have the opportunity to dialogue with, to have a conversation with, if you will. And so when we come into that recognition, then our practice and the way that we connect with that living source is through gratitude, because it's at a very high frequency that source resides. And in order to be able to communicate with that source of energy, that living consciousness, we too must elevate our own frequency, and gratitude is the way we do that. So we begin to daily cultivate a regular practice of acknowledging that relationship through, it can be through quiet time, through meditation, through a long walk, anything we do that where we consciously bring to mind our relationship with the universe as that which is our eternal partner, that is always with us, that can never leave us, that is ever supporting us. And when we recognize we have that, and we begin to cultivate that relationship with that, then we find ourselves living more and more in a state of gratitude.
So when you use the word decision, is it for you a decision to stay or not within victim consciousness?
It is absolutely a decision whether or not we choose to stay in victim consciousness. But it is not to stay in victim consciousness. But it's not necessary. We don't really get to choose whether or not we go there. It seems to me that we as humans are here to go there. That's not a problem. We make it a problem. We think we should be able to get over it, that it means there's something wrong with us, that we should never have to go there. In reality, victim consciousness is the place that we go in order to see what it is we're believing that's keeping us separate, that's holding us away from the source, the living intelligence that I was just talking about. So actually, we have to kind of go into that dark place in order to see where it is in our own mind where there's a festering shadow, a festering darkness that is standing in the way of our happiness. The only way we're going to find it is to go into victim consciousness. Otherwise, we just don't see it.
So for our listeners, can you please define this word that you've been using in our conversation, source?
Source is that which sources me. In other words, it's like this. I like to say God, it's really easy to prove that God is or that source is. You can use the word God. You can use the word reality with a capital R. You can use the word universe. You can use, there's all sorts of words you can use, because the reality of it is that whatever word we put to it is only going to reduce it anyway. You can't be named by a word or two or even a phrase or a thousand words. It's much bigger than any of that. But it is that which sources us. And it's really easy to prove that that source is, that we are sourced by that. For instance, we can prove it right now. Just to hold your breath. How long can you do without breath? That is a gift directly from source. That is an example of how it is that we are daily, moment to moment, sourced by that which is bigger than us, that actually created us with a plan in mind, with an idea of what it was we were built to do, and what it is that we were planted here to realize and to recognize and to serve in whatever way that is. Does that answer the question?
Yes, definitely. So you are saying it is not a decision to experience victim consciousness, but it is a decision to stay there. Is it a decision to experience gratitude?
Gratitude is also a choice. gratitude is absolutely a choice. And it's also a state that comes about naturally as a result of making the choice to connect with this source, making the decision to acknowledge that there's something bigger than us, that it's not all left up to us. Which to me, I don't know about others, but to me, that is a tremendous relief that I don't have to be the one who handles everything all alone, that I have this collaboration with the unseen partner.
Mm-hmm. So by including Source in this conversation, how is it that believing in something greater than us can help us experience gratitude towards staying outside the victim triangle or staying outside victim consciousness?
Let me see if I can answer this. It might be necessary to break it down a little bit. By connecting with So I'm actually hearing a couple of questions rolled into one there. I don't know if you intend it, but the first part of the question seemed to have to do with how do I make a decision to connect with Source, is that right? And then the second part of the question is how do I use that to cultivate gratitude and get out of victim consciousness? Does that sound what you're asking?
We can talk to our listeners in that way, yes.
So the first part is recognizing that there is, just to acknowledge there is a source is a recognition. It's a decision to acknowledge that there's something bigger than us. It's pretty obvious, really, when we think about source as being reality. Because reality, you can't win with reality. Reality, you can never fight it and win. You can never overcome it. You can never talk it out of. You can't beg it, seduce it, manipulate it into being what you want it to be. And if anybody has tried, believe me, I have, and it's never worked. Reality never came to me and said, Lynn, how do you think life should be on this planet? Never. It's never asked my opinion about how my own life should turn out. It just is what it is. It's reality. And I can either make peace with it, i.e. reality / God / source, I can either make peace with it as being that which is in charge, or I can resist it and move, which moves me directly into victim consciousness. Because as soon as I start resisting it, I feel beat down by it. I feel at the mercy of it. I feel unfair against, unjustly treated. These are the feelings that come when I believe that there is either A, nothing in charge, and so stuff just happens to me and I have no control over it. That this is the victim mentality without a belief in something bigger. I'm automatically in victim consciousness. I don't think, unless we have a belief that there is something bigger than us. And the reason for that is because, like I just said, reality is going to prove us wrong every time. We cannot win. We can't force life to be what we want it to be. The most powerful, strongest willed person in the world is not going to prevent their body from atrophying, getting weak, and dying. That's just reality. You can't fight it. And you can either make peace with it or you can make yourself miserable about it. And to me, I choose to make peace because I want to live in a state of peace. And peace is one of the key elements of peace and gratitude. And so that's how we begin to use peace and gratitude as the alternative. Gratitude is the vehicle to peace, and it happens automatically when we begin to recognize that there's something bigger than us in charge, and that's not a problem. As a matter of fact, it's a great relief, because now it's not just me alone on the path. There's a purpose. There's a mission. And there's an unseen support to help me along the way. The thing that happens, Luciana, with this is that when we began to practice it, it becomes increasingly evident. We see the evidence every day. Of course, because whatever we believe, we're going to see the evidence of. So why not choose to believe in something that's going to bring you evidence that is kind, that is loving, that sees a benevolent world rather than a world full of problems that need to either be conquered or fixed?
Mm-hmm. So for someone who is experiencing victim consciousness, wouldn't believing in something bigger outside themselves, in charge of what happens to them, hold them within victim consciousness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where we're the guiding principles, which is another one of the tools for cultivating gratitude, is to come into alignment with some ancient principles. And I've enumerated 14 in my book. I've actually further refined those and made them more, sort of, I've put them more in layman's terms, which is available on my blog, actually. I've done the upgrade on my blog to 10 guiding principles that are ancient. These are ancient truths. When we talk about principles, we talk about the constructs of reality. This is the stuff it's sort of like the contract that living on Earth, this is a contract we're under. These are the guiding principles. This is the way life is. And when these 14 principles, and the first one is that there is a source, that there's something bigger than us. I think it's essential. It's such a great relief, because otherwise we're busy trying to get the world to be for us. And we always, no matter how loyal someone may be to us, they cannot save us. But there is a relationship that we can have with something bigger than us, a source, that literally can be with us, protect us, guide us, lead us, and take care of us. And it's the only thing there is. I like to say that when we think of codependency done on a horizontal plane, and that is in any relationship on the earth, is out of alignment. But as soon as you bring that codependent relationship in vertical alignment with source, it applies. In other words, that's who we're supposed to be dependent on. That's where that is. Anywhere else we put it, it's not going to work. It's going to turn dysfunctional. It's going to get funky. It's going to be on the triangle. When I line it up with where it belongs in the right order, then it is right relationship. It is right relationship with source. What we think of as a codependent relationship is in right relationship with source. Can you understand what I'm saying there?
Yes, I can. So can gratitude get us outside victim consciousness without relying on the belief that someone else is responsible for our reality?
Yes. When you say our reality, and that's it. There's a difference between reality, capital R, which is synonymous with source, and our personal reality, which is frankly our own story about reality, capital R. So our personal reality is the story we make up about reality. And gratitude is how, I think it's one of the chief ways. But one of the things that happens with when we begin to clear our story, whatever that is, our unhappy story, our low-frequency story, as I like to call them, which because it puts us in a state of fear or sadness or hurt or resentment or doubt or guilt or any of those what I call low-frequency emotions, when we believe our own unhappy story. Now, there are stories that we have in our personal reality that are not unhappy. So I'm just talking about the unhappy ones here. So when I'm in that unhappy story and I begin to question it and begin to step back from it, and when I get to the place where I'm actually turning it around to its opposite, instead of seeing it as a problem, I'm saying, for instance, let's say I have a story about my relationship, and the story about my relationship is that they don't love me. That person does not love me, really. They are not truly there for me. And when I begin to question that story, is it true? When I believe it, who do I become? And how do I feel? How do I act? My belief that person is not there for me. Then what happens is I start to turn it around. I start going, that person is there for me. They are there for me. And I begin to name the ways they are there for me. I see that they're there for me in that they, I think of my husband in this case. I remember this was a story I had about him for many years. And when I began to recognize it, well, and thank him for putting gas in the car. This is the way that he cared for me. Kept my car gassed up and ready to go to town. And so then I came to appreciation. Then all of a sudden, what I was seeing as a problem now turned around, becomes something I appreciate. And then, you see, it's become gratitude. Now I'm feeling grateful for him. So gratitude is both, I'm cultivating a state of appreciation. I'm learning to appreciate so that I can cultivate a state of gratitude, which puts me on a frequency with that which sources me. And that's me in right alignment. And it's really difficult for story to run my life, my unhappy story to run my life, when I'm seeing the world through a lens of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I'm doing with gratitude is I'm looking for how this is working for me instead of how it's not working.
So let me see if I understand it. What you're saying, is that experiencing gratitude can help us realize that whenever we are in a codependency relationship, be it with source, be it with a partner, be it with a boss, whenever this happens in our own unique and happy story, yes?
Except that you were talking about being in a codependent relationship with Source. I don't know that we do that with Source. I think that being in a codependent with Source is the legitimate place to be codependent. That's what I'm saying. I mean, think about all the things we think about when we think about codependency. I know we have a negative idea about what codependency is, and that's only because it doesn't work on the ground in our human relationships. But when we think about what it means when I'm codependent, what is it? It means that I'm busy trying to serve you so that you'll serve me, okay? I'm busy thinking that you're more important than I am, and so I sacrifice my own needs. I'm busy trying to get to be important by taking care of you. I'm busy. I'm totally dependent on you. I think that I can only be happy if you're happy. And so I make my whole life about making you happy. Well, when we begin to look at this in terms of our relationship with Source, in reality we understand that it is about my relationship with Source, that I am here to serve that, and that there really is nothing else to do, and that my love, my feeling good about me is based on my accepting, my ability to accept the love that Source has for me, that I was designed for a purpose, that there is a mission, that there is a reason, and that it's not another person that gives me my reason for living, but Source gives me my reason for living. You know, that's where the whole reason for my being was created. I always think of our creator source as being like a master potter who is makes pots for a living, you know, and he takes clay and he shapes them into various vessels. And he makes some vessels for specific purposes. He makes some vessels for flowers as a flower vase. He makes some to hold oils or ointments. He makes a milk pitcher. He makes a bucket to hold water to carry. He makes all these different shapes and sizes of pots, and one to cook in, and one to knead bread in, and he makes them all with a specific purpose in mind. I like to think that that's exactly the way each of us were designed, with a specific utilitarian purpose in mind. The Creator threw this pot called Lynn, so to speak, with a particular idea in mind. So I was made a particular way with a particular set of personality traits, with this particular bent for some things, and that is how I was designed. So it's right to understand that my very being is dependent on that which made me.
So can gratitude change the way in which we understand source? For example, being source, someone out there responsible for our sickness, our unhappiness, as if it were a prosecutor, or, for example, waiting for a miracle from source instead of running, assuming responsibility and going to a doctor when someone's sick, as if it were a rescuer.
Yes. And the thing is that we do the victim triangle with source as well as with ourselves and everyone around us. And one of the things that happens in this process is we begin to see how it is we play the victim triangle out with God. I remember the moment it happened in my own life when I realized that I was in my morning practice, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that I couldn't, there was nothing I could do to get his recognition and get him to give me what I wanted. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't seduce him into it. I couldn't bully him, threaten God, source into it. I couldn't make it happen. I couldn't perform well enough. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't bribe my way in. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't rationalize it good enough. I couldn't be good enough at prayer or good enough at anything to get Creator to give me what I was demanding. And right on the heels of that realization, I felt tremendous relief. Because the relief that comes from knowing that it's not up to me, so I can just quit trying. That acknowledgement that I'm seeking evidence that I'm valued by source, I'm seeking by source giving me what I wanted. See, it was like, okay, if you give me what I want, I know I matter to you. But if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to try every way in the world. I must not be doing something right. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to be seductive, cute. I'm going to demand. I'm going to threaten. I'm going to give ultimatum. Whatever. The bottom line is there's nothing I can do. And the relief that comes from knowing I can give all that up because it's freely given. There's nothing I have to do for it. And it wouldn't do any good if I tried. So there was this relief of like, oh, it just liberated me to begin to be able to, well, praise source instead. Begin to acknowledge all the ways that I am being given to, all the ways that I do have what I need, whether it's what I think I want or not. And then all of a sudden, now I've moved off the triangle with the Creator. I've come into a relationship with Source that appreciates that relationship, honors it, acknowledges it. And now there is a working collaboration that can happen between me and that because I've stopped setting, putting walls between me and that. I've stopped thinking that I had to earn it. I've stopped believing that I couldn't have it anyway. So I stopped trying to get it in all sorts of other ways by being helpless. If I've convinced, for instance, by convincing Source that, honey, Juice, I'm so pitiful here. Look at my life. You should do something for me. You know, that whole place we get into with God, whiny kind of place, where we get into the victim, helpless baby place. But when I began to recognize, when I began to recognize that none of that works, that what Source gives me is freely given to each and every one of us, just like the sun shining every day on, it doesn't matter who we are. Sun, I'm looking out the window right now, it's shining outside, I see a homeless person sitting on the sidewalk, he's getting just as much sun as that fine businessman walking there. I see a young man jogging by, sun shining on him, the same as this old person is that's getting out of the car here that I'm watching. Everybody's being shined on equally. There's nothing that has to be done here. I don't have to prove my worth or lack of worth in order to get something that is already mine. And that's what happens in our relationship with Source. So then all of a sudden, all that's left for me to do is appreciate it. And that automatically moves us into gratitude, and gratitude is the exact opposite of victim consciousness. I cannot be in victim consciousness and in gratitude at the same time.
You mentioned the word or the concept praise. Can you please define it and explain to us how does praise generate gratitude?
Praise is a way of opening our mouth, externally, let's say that, because you can also praise internally. But externally, it's an act of opening our mouths and allowing high-frequency words and sound in praise. This is automatically saying, it's acknowledging and singing the praises of, and actually praise has been known to transform illness because it moves us into such a high frequency. That's why singing praises, songs of praise, has been done for centuries. Why? Not just because it's beautiful, and it is that, but because it's powerful, because it's effective, because it heals, it opens hearts and heals. And praise is a way of opening the heart to the recognition of all that we are being given. And we're given that ability to praise. That I think that's because we're supposed to. It's a secret tool for activating gratitude, for activating that state of consciousness we call gratitude.
What effect would you say gratitude has with our ego?
Well, when we're in gratitude, I'm listening carefully to what I'm saying here to see if I agree with it before I say it. gratitude is... something that we do as a way to, I don't even know how to put it in words. So ask the question one more time. There was a word that you said in the question that anchored my thought. Now I've forgotten what the word is. So ask me the question one more time, please.
Sure. Would you say, or in which way would you say that gratitude affects our ego?
Affects. Yeah. So I'm not sure that we can, again, it depends on your definition of ego. I think of ego as being a word synonymous with victim, as in the victim ego. And the ego is a part of us that it doesn't really experience a lot of gratitude. It's more into power. It's more into being right. And it's not really interested in appreciation or gratitude. And so I think that what happens with gratitude is it decreases the ego. Ego can't quite run us. It can't run us the way it does when we are in any of the lower frequency states. Well, so what I was arguing with myself about whether or not I believe it's true, and the more I talk, I think it is true, and that is basically what I was going to say is just this. Ego and gratitude are opposite states. When I'm in ego consciousness, I'm in victim consciousness. What I'm concerned with from the ego is being right, and what I'm busy being right about is my own unhappy story, by the way, of who I am and what I can expect in the world. I'm out to prove that. Ego is about coming from a place that says the world is unsafe, and therefore I need to protect myself. The ego was created, it's a mind-created mechanism designed to protect us from what we perceive, i.e. believe, to be a dangerous, scary world. And as soon as we buy into that, there is no room for source, there's no room for gratitude, because that is seen as weak. It's seen as rendering us vulnerable, easily taken advantage of. This is the way ego sees gratitude and appreciation.
And what would you say is the relationship between gratitude and fear?
It's opposite states. You know, it's like we could do two columns on a page. And under one column, we could put everything that has to do, we could label it the victim ego. And the other column would be observer consciousness or gratitude-centered. Let's just say that. And everything that you've mentioned here so far are just, it's like they're in one column or the other. And fear is in the victim ego because that's what the victim ego runs on. It runs on fear. And so it, because that's its main fuel, it is constantly conjuring up ways to manufacture fear and to hold us in fear. So that's how it strengthens itself. That's how it stays in charge. It runs us literally through fear. And then so we develop a bunch of, like I said, defense mechanisms. I'm going to need to shut down and not share who I am. I'm going to use anger as my primary defense to protect myself. I'm going to be deceptive because I need to go underground and not let people know who I am. These are just examples of defense mechanisms that the victim ego uses based on fear. Gratitude is the prime, just like fear is the primary state of the victim ego, gratitude is the primary emotional state of the conscious mind, of the observer self, what I call the observer self. That part of us that witnesses from a place of seeing not challenges, not problems, but challenges that grow us, opportunities for growth. That's what the observer sees. The victim ego sees only problems.
So would you say that gratitude can change the way in which we perceive reality?
Absolutely. Only 100%. Absolutely. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude, and that is to develop a habit that no matter what happens, I return to gratitude. No matter what I experience, it's like that little story that has been circulated far and wide. You probably know it. I'll just remind you of it because it's so apropos here. The story about the little girl who wanted a pony for Christmas, you know that story? And she kept begging for a pony. And on Christmas morning, she got up and she went through all the presents under the tree. There was no pony. She ran around the yard. There was no pony. But there was a big old she ran out the barn. There was a big old pile of manure. And she got the shovel, and she started digging through that manure. And she was just enthusiastically throwing that manure over her shoulder. And her parents were like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" She said, "I figure with all this crap, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." It's that attitude. Like, there are gifts in here, and I am bound to find them. And that, when we cultivate that habit, when we look at life, then it's an amazing. It's amazing what happens. I could give you, if we had time, example after example of the transformation that happens in whole families when we begin to turn to gratitude and away from fear.
So how can we, in a practical way, when we are feeling hurt by other, or when we are feeling somebody else is being hurt by other, raise our frequency enough to choose to experience gratitude?
You know, I think it starts when we are in a really hurt, wounded place. It starts with allowing ourselves to feel the gratitude for even being able to feel the pain. The gratitude that we're willing to experience this event or this happening. So just to, the first place it starts with just a kindness towards ourselves for being where we are. And then we begin to look at, what am I thinking? What am I believing? And what would it look like if I were to see this through eyes that saw it as working for me instead of being against me? This person has left and I'm hurt, let's say. I'm in a relationship and the other one pulls out of the relationship and moves on, and I'm left heartbroken. And so the very first thing that happens is we just the ability, just the willingness to give ourselves permission to have the grief is that's us turning, beginning to turn towards gratitude. And then the next stage then is then to begin to look for how it's a gift. How is it that they're leaving is actually a gift for us? And then there, at that place, we begin to discover things like, well, the relationship was never a right relationship. I've known it for a long time. I just couldn't leave. Things like that begin to be discovered. And I see how the others leaving actually was a way of helping me let go of something I needed to let go of. And so then I'm feeling some gratitude there. I've moved out of victim at that level. So then I began to look for the for what it is that this is bringing me. What is it allowing me? How is it furthering me that this has happened? And I began to see that now I have a clearer idea of what kind of relationship I would like to have in the future. What it is I don't want and what it is I do want gets clearer. And I become increasingly grateful for the process. So this is like how that might look as I move towards gratitude.
So for our listeners, which may have experienced physical abuse, psychological abuse, sexual abuse, what would you tell them?
You know what I do when I work with folks who have suffered through horrendous abuse and even children. And I've had the occasion to work with a few children who have been sexually abused or abused shortly after they went through it or as a result of their having gone through it, they would end up in my office. And and so I see my goal as not as here's what happens with us as professionals, Luciana. So a kid comes in, or we find out about a kid who's been abused, and immediately we see it as a problem. We go into a mindset of that should never have happened. Well, we can all agree with that, but here's the thing, did it? You know, sort of back to reality, it did happen. So